We read in Luke 9 of Moses and Elias, or Elijah. We talked about this last week, how they were changed, and how Christ, of course, was transfigured. His glory shone out from within. But I was struck in verse 31 of Luke 9, it said that Moses and Elijah, or Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory. They too shone with glory. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we turn to thy word now, how we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for he who even on that mount, as we thought last week, was his outward form was so changed that it glowed and the glory shone from within, even through his very clothing, and his face shone like the sun. We thank thee Christ is the all-glorious one. As we come to consider this great miracle that can happen in human beings, how we can be changed by the power of Christ, O Lord, guide us in our thoughts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thinking of the story we told a little bit earlier, let me ask you, are you metamorphosed? Have you ever been metamorphosed? Are you going to be metamorphosed one day? You say, is it painful? Well, it's a word that's used in Scripture. And this morning it's more of a word study. It's good sometimes to take a word in Scripture. And we've already read one verse where that word was used by the English word changed. Changed. You see, the term means a complete change. And it's very important to grasp the exact meaning of the word. Let's say one of you boys had a pet frog. It's very small. And maybe your auntie comes or uncle a few weeks later and it's grown bigger and you take out the frog and show it to her. She says, my, that frog's changed. It's grown. It's bigger. Ah, but if you had a little tadpole in a bowl and your auntie comes a few weeks later and that tadpole has now metamorphosed, as would be the term, or changed into a frog, she'd say, my, hasn't that tadpole changed? And it's a different change. Change completely. When a tadpole changes into a frog, that's a metamorphosis. That's a tremendous change. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Metamorphosis. I don't know if you remember years ago there was a broadcaster. He died just a few weeks ago. He's a great drawer, Tony Hart. And he used to have programs for children. Adults used to watch them too. And might take paint or pens. And tremendous drawer. And he used to have a wee form made out of plasticine, a wee plasticine man, and of course they took the photographs and he bent over and he changed and so on. I think he lived in a matchbox supposedly, just a little thing with plasticine. But remember this, they called him Morph. Why did they call him Morph? Well, because the word in the Greek language metamorph, morph means form, metamorphosis, a dramatic change of form. But it's very important to note this, it's change from the inside. It's change from the inside. Oh yes, it can be seen outwardly, but it's change from the inside. Sometimes in our New Testament it's translated transformed. But you know, over in 2 Corinthians 11, there's a word transformed when you're reading your Bible. And it says Satan is transformed into an angel of light. Now, that is not the word we're thinking of. That is not the term we're thinking of. It's a different term completely. What it means is this. Satan can transform or change his outward appearance. He can appear to people to be so plausible. Almost like an angel of light. But you know, he hasn't changed inside. Satan is still that infernal, evil liar and murderer from the beginning. It's only an outward disguise. It's only an outward change. And that's why you cannot use the word metamorphosis for Satan. Because it's only an outward change. It's a facade. It's a veneer. It's a disguise. It's outward change. But the word we're thinking of this morning is an inward change of the whole person from within. And that's very, very important to grasp, because here's the point today. Salvation that's described in the Bible is a metamorphosis. It's a change. It's a complete change. It's not only just an outward change of behavior. You see, a person can come to realize that there's a God and he's holy and we're sinful. How can I meet a holy God? And so people have religion. Why? Because man is a being that within their conscience they know there's a higher being. And so religions, through religions, men attempt to proclaim the divine being. They attempt to gain merit. And so they'll change often the outward behaviour of what they do. And the idea of human nature is, well, if I pray more, if I do this more, or do the other thing and stop doing certain things, then I'll be a Christian. Then God will accept me. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches it doesn't matter what we do outwardly. The problem, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. It's inside. It's what's inside. And salvation is not an outward change. Salvation is not an outward change. That's reformation. Salvation has to be an inward change, regeneration. Regeneration. That's the point. That's the point. Salvation is of the Lord. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we thought last week about the great miracle of transfiguration, where Christ, of course, always is and always was God, but he veiled that glory. But in those moments on the mountain of transfiguration, we thought last week, he allowed the glory to shine out and he was transfigured, changed. They saw him as they'd never saw him before. And now, yes, it was seen outwardly, but it was because of what was inside. Because of what was inside. You see, what is a true Christian? A true Christian is someone who can say, I have been changed. But a Christian can also say, one day I will be changed. And you know, we can also say this, I am being changed. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. How can you say you have been changed and yet you say you will be changed and you are being changed? Well, it'll all become very simple. You see, just as there was a miracle of transfiguration back in that mountain when Christ visited shone, and we read in Luke 9 that even Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. Well, that was a unique miracle. But you know, there are miracles just as great that can happen even here this morning. There are miracles of God are happening every day. Miracles of metamorphosis. Miracles of dramatic change. Number one, what is a Christian? What is salvation? Well, salvation commences by regeneration. Commences by a term we call regeneration. Being made new. A dramatic change. Being born again. Being made alive. Being dramatically changed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And we need to emphasize that salvation is of the Lord. It's a miracle. Salvation's a miracle. The Spirit of God comes in and changes the life dramatically. It's not an outward change. Can you imagine taking a pig out of the pigsty and cleaning it all up, putting a bit of powder on its head or whatever, not in its nose, it might sneeze, but a bit of powder and a bit of perfume behind its ear, put a little bow around it, bring it into the house and set it at the table. How long do you think it would stay there? Man, if it looks out and see a big muddy puddle, let me at it. Why? Because that's the nature of the pig. That's its nature. That's what's inside. It wants to wallow in the mud hole. Salvation is not an outward change. It's inward. You see, the Pharisees of Christ's day were very religious. They knew the law. They knew the Ten Commandments. They said, now, they added to the commandments. They gave all kinds of interpretations that were absolutely foolish. You could only walk a certain distance. You know what they did to get round it? If you read the Jewish history, the Pharisees said, now, you can only walk a certain distance. So, we'll leave a few of our belongings in a house. So we'll walk a certain distance. Ah, but I've belongings here, so we can walk another. Do you know that the Pharisees actually taught at the time of Christ? Actually taught that if you lifted the salt cellar to put salt on your boiled egg, that was sin because you were lifting a heavy burden. You know, a bit of salt. But if you dipped the egg in the salt, that was all right. What stupid, foolish rules that religious men can put upon people. No wonder the Lord said, you've put a burden. And the Pharisees, they thought, oh, I've kept the outward, I'm holy, I've observed the outward rules. And we are higher than other people because we don't do what they do. And it was true to a certain extent that Pharisees did not become involved in the outward, what we would call sins of society, as regards morality. And that's good, they didn't. But they thought by doing that that they would earn heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, no. He said in Mark 7, you've got it wrong. It's not what's outward, for from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, pride, and so on. They come from within and defile the man. The Lord said it's the problem inside. We've got a sinful human nature because we're born of Adam. It's from within. And he said to the Pharisees one day, and indeed to the crowd were listening, he said, these religious men, they've cleaned the outside of the cup. But inside. Can you imagine going home for dinner and you get handed a cup and my, it's lovely and shiny, lovely china cup. My, that's clean. And then you're just about to pour the tea in and you look inside and there's cobwebs and there's earwigs and there's cockroaches and there's spiders. And you go, oh, I'll go ahead. No, it's filthy inside. And that's exactly what the Lord meant. He said, you've reformed outwardly. You've changed your behavior from other people. You're very moral. You're very upright. You're very clean. But the problem is inside your heart. You need a miracle. You need to be changed inwardly. But you know the great promise of salvation? In the Old Testament, the Lord promised a new covenant. What was that? Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more. Redemption. One who would come would pay the price of sin and take away the guilt. Ah, but he also went on to say not only redemption but regeneration. You know what he said? I will give you a new heart. And I will write my laws upon your heart. I will give you a new heart. That's what we call regeneration. That's what we call being born again. And one day a man called Nicodemus, we sang about him. Very religious man, very upright man, very good man. You would say very respectable and good. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's commendable. But he came to the Lord and the Lord said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if you're not born again, if you don't have this complete metamorphosis, if you don't have a complete change inwardly, you'll never see heaven. You'll not have eternal life. And Nicodemus said, but how? Do I have to become a baby and be born again? Couldn't understand it. And the Lord began to teach him. He should have understood because the Old Testament taught that I will give you a new heart. Should have understood it. But he didn't understand. Of course, the Lord went on to speak about Calvary, that through the cross we can be changed. We read over in 2 Corinthians, a passage in 2 Corinthians 4:6, where it talks about the gospel being hid from them that are lost. It talks about the God of this world hath blinded their minds. And that's all of us. That's every man, every woman born into this world. We're blinded. But yet Christ is the light. Spoke about that a few Sunday nights ago. He's the light of the world. But the problem is this, man can't see. But in the miracle of salvation, here's what happens. There's a complete change. God opens the eyes. God opens the eyes. You know, sometimes people joke and they laugh, and someone says, maybe in work, they've come to Christ as Savior, and they go and tell somebody and their work friends, you know, I've got saved, I'm converted, I'm trusting Christ as Savior. Oh, you've seen the light, have you? And they say it jokingly, but it's true. Because 2 Corinthians 4 says, it's seeing the glory of God, the light of the gospel, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's what we sang about John Newton, a man who hated God and mocked and made up terrible blasphemous poems against scripture verses. Yet there off the coast of Northern Ireland in 1748,
He realized there was a God and he had cursed him and blasphemed him. He realized that sin has to be punished because we sang it. He saw one hanging on a tree and he said, that's what I deserve. But then he saw the great light of the gospel in the face of Christ, that God in Christ was providing forgiveness and salvation. And there in that ship, John Newton was a changed man. He was regenerated. Salvation commences with that great change. But you know, salvation, I have been changed, but one day we'll be able to say, I will be changed completely. It hasn't happened yet. What do we mean? Well, the Bible also speaks about a day when we'll know complete salvation. What it means is our bodies will be changed. They're not changed yet. You see, in Luke 9, it says Elijah and Moses appeared in glory. Appeared in glory. Now, we don't have glorified bodies today. Unless my glasses are steamed up or something. But none of us have glorified bodies. We have wrinkles. We get sick. We get tired. But you know what the Bible teaches? Everyone who knows Christ as Savior and has been given a new heart, one day we will know a complete change, a complete metamorphosis. Our whole bodies will change. You see, Moses had died. Elijah went straight to heaven without dying. But you know something? They were changed. They were changed. And you know, over in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, what a chapter. Paul says that at the great resurrection, when the last trump, when Christ shall call his people unto himself, those that are alive, they'll be changed in a split second, in the twinkling of an eye. And that's not even a blink. It's even shorter than that. It's just a gleam of light shining out of your eye. You'll be changed. And the body's in the grave. Dust. In the twinkling. Can you think of it? Think of how quick it is to blink. It's even quicker than that. Even quicker. There'll be the miracle of metamorphosis, of change. And Paul puts it this way. That body that was buried is sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. It's sown corruptible. In other words, you lay your believing loved one on the earth. Sown corruptible puts on incorruptible. The mortal puts on immortality. Paul puts it this way. We shall change our vile, that means body of humiliation, like unto his, to be fashioned like unto his glorious body. You know, one of the disciples who saw the miracle happening of transfiguration, he saw it. He was there. John, you remember Peter, James and John. John, you know what he wrote in 1 John 3 in his book? He wrote about that day when he said, we shall be changed. He said in his own epistle, he said, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, Christ, shall appear, listen, we shall be like him. What a change. If you know Christ as Savior, one day you're going to have a body like Christ's body. I can't describe that body, but what a change it's going to be. You read 1 Corinthians 15. You're going to have a glorious body transformed. When C.H. Spurgeon, great preacher, he got a book, Horatius or Andrew, I can't remember which, it may have, they're two brothers who were great preachers in the Free Church of Scotland. I think it was Horatius. Bonner sent him a copy of the book. And Spurgeon asked, would he send a photograph of himself that he would keep with the book? And so Mr. Bonner wrote back and he sent the picture and he said, well, Mr. Spurgeon, if only you had waited a little time, you would have had a better picture of me, because soon I shall be like Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. If you have trusted Christ as Savior, you can say, I have been changed. The Lord saved me. Changed me. I'm a new creature. I'm a joint heir of Christ. I've been born again. But you can also say by faith, I will be changed one day. I will be changed. But now in the meantime, I am being changed. That's what a Christian can say. I am being changed. I'm not all that I ought to be. I'm not all that I would like to be. Oh yes, thank God I'm not what I was. I'm not what I will be. But day by day I am being changed. You call that sanctification. Sanctification, you're changed. You see, you were saved when you trusted Christ from the penalty of sin.
We will be saved one day from the presence of sin, but day by day we're saved from the power of sin. You see, that initial work in salvation, regeneration, it's an act. Happens. God does it in a split second. Well, even who can measure the time? But it's instant. It's an act of God. Justification, we're declared righteous. It's an act. God does it. One day, every Christian, an act will be changed. Ah, but here's where sometimes believers get confused. Sanctification is a work. Is a work of God's grace. In other words, it's a process. I am being changed. What do we mean? You see, more and more, as you're a Christian, God works in you to more and more conform you, to make you like Christ. More and more to die unto sin. You see, a Christian, a believer, is not perfect. See, the world expects if you're a Christian that you never sin. Well, no, we're not perfect. We're not perfect. We're not sinless, but we ought to sin less. We ought to be more conscious of sin. And there ought to be a greater forsaking of sin. How? Through the Spirit. But the Spirit of God uses means. And He uses the Scripture. Turn to 2 Peter a moment. 2 Peter chapter 1. Remember, we're thinking of transfiguration and how we need to be changed. And here in 2 Peter, the little epistle of 2 Peter chapter 1, there's a very important passage here. 2 Peter chapter 1. And you'll see in verse 16 of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables." See that? But at the end of verse 16, "were eyewitnesses of His majesty." What's he talking? He was talking about the transfiguration we spoke about last week. It's clear, but in verse 17, "for He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." So there's no question it's talking about that vision. It was a true vision. It was an actual vision. It literally happened. That's very, very important. But look what he says in verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." It tells us to take heed to it. What's he saying? He's saying, Christian, you weren't there when Christ was transfigured and Moses and Elijah appeared in glory. But don't you say to yourself, "Oh, if I'd have been there, what great faith that would instill in me. Oh, if I'd been there, I would be a different person." Peter says, "Look, I was actually there. I saw it. It was real. I know what I saw. It was a true experience. It was a true vision from God." But he's saying this, believer, you have something better. You have something better than any vision. You have this word. That's how we are changed. A believer is changed when the Spirit of God takes this Scripture. You see, I remember meeting a lady, I'm not going into the details for time, in Armagh one day, and she started to talk to all the media about this experience and that experience. And I said, "No." She said, oh, you need to have assurance." And I remember in this meeting, my, it's like a light hit me. And went right down my spine, and I shivered all over, and it hit me, and a great bolt hit me, and "Oh, I know now." I said, "Well, I haven't had that. And I'm glad I haven't." She says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Is it from Satan or God?" She's very angry. She says, I said, "Well, the Bible says Satan is transformed into an angel of light." I said, "I know I'm saved because the Bible tells me. Because I have the Word of God. The Word of God's the foundation." That's what we're saying. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God. We have a more sure, you can see it there in the verse. We have a more sure word than any vision. We have a more sure word. And then I finish with over in 2 Corinthians, the passage we read. And in chapter 3, verse 18. Actually, this verse, just one other one, but in 3:18, we'll turn to it. The last verse we'll turn to. 3:18 of 2 Corinthians, we read it. We all with open face, he's talking about the scripture here, as are beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are metamorphosed or changed into the same image. He's speaking about the scripture, but what he's saying is the Jews are reading the Old Testament, but there's a veil that they can't see. But he's saying, you who know Christ, as you come and read the scripture, the Holy Spirit opens your eyes. And as you read the Word of God or you listen to it preached, the Spirit of God enables you to see Christ in Scripture. You see that the story of the Transfiguration, it's all about Christ. You see the Bible's all about Christ. And a miracle takes place. The Spirit of God does it. As you look into the Scripture and you see Christ, you know what the result is? You're changed within and you become more like Christ. That's why it's so important to read the Word. That's why it's so important to pray for the services and for the blessing of God upon the Word, and that God would open people's eyes to see the Word. We're changed through Scripture. We are being changed. We need the supplication. And often, by the way, at the time of prayer or supplication, that's also when you're in prayer that the Spirit of God makes Christ real to you. We often sing the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. One line says, with such I hasten to the place where God my Saviour shows his face. That's only hymnology, but I think it's good. Where God my Saviour shows his face. Written by the blind preacher William Walford. He's blind. Yet he composed those words. Where God my Saviour shows his face. He meant a spiritual sight. How do we be changed? Through the Scripture, through supplication, through surrender to Christ. There's a verse, and I'll not turn to it, for I'm sure most of you know it. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye metamorphosed. See, I don't remember that. No, our English translators have made it into English for us. Be ye transformed, but it's the same word that we thought of the butterfly. Same word. By the renewing of your mind. You see, Paul was writing to people who had been changed. He said, you're under the wrath of God, chapter 3, but you're the sons of God now. And then he said to them earlier in the chapter, one day you'll be glorified. But now he says, in the meantime, Christian, give yourself to the Lord. Present your body to him. Don't be squeezed into the world's mold. Every day of your life, give yourself and surrender to the Lord. And he'll do a miracle in your heart. Your mind will be renewed. It's in the passive. In other words, you do not renew your own mind. No. It's as you read the Word of God and see Christ and say, Lord, I'm surrendering my all to you. And what that means practically is, Lord, these hands are your hands. These feet are your feet. My life is yours. My life's yours. Whatever your will is. The Holy Spirit works a miracle within you, a tremendous change. And you begin to see things as Moses, we talked about, saw them, that this world isn't all there is and we need to live for eternity. And you're able to make choices. And you're able to refuse the pleasures of sin. You're able. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is changing you. Is changing you. So a Christian is somebody who has been changed. One day will be changed. But a Christian is someone who ought to be changed day by day. By the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, as we supplicate, as we surrender to him. And a Christian more and more should reflect that comparison between a caterpillar and a butterfly. These pictures I held up of a butterfly. Well, you see one. How do you know it's a butterfly? Well, you'd say to yourself, well, a butterfly doesn't frequent the same places as a caterpillar. A butterfly doesn't desire the same type of food as a caterpillar. Caterpillar eats the leaves, butterfly doesn't. It doesn't eat the same food. It doesn't hang around with the same crowd. There's an outward evidence that it's a butterfly. But it all began in the cocoon when it was changed. Salvation is a change. Have you been changed? Are you being changed? Will you be changed one day? Let's turn in our hymn books, please.